Now it's time to go legal, and we're talking to Peter Allam, our legal eagle on duty. And Peter, very good morning. Welcome on this sunny and, well, fairly sunny Monday morning.
Yeah, morning, Wayne. Morning to all the listeners out there. Getting a little bit more chilly in the morning. We've had a lovely weekend, though. We can't complain. Great weather for the weekend. Anyway, be that as it may, our topic this morning is a very, very interesting one. You know, we talk about life partners, and I actually did some research on it, and in more ways than one, if one really looks at it, you know, in the old days, life partners were not really the thing. People invariably got married. But as time has gone by, and believe it or not, these days, divorce is so easy that you find a lot of people that come out of a divorce and say, you know, I'll never get married again. I've experienced hell once, and I'm not going to go through it again. And a lot of people live happily ever after for many, many years with what one can call a life partner. You know, they shack up, they share the same home, they do things jointly. Some instances, they even have children together and things like that. But one thing that always seems to be left behind is, what happens if it goes wrong? Or what happens on death? Those are the things that we don't seem to take into account when we get into one of those relationships. And what made me chat on this is that, you know, there's now an actual award out of the courts for interim maintenance to an unmarried life partner. The court decision was made on the 4th of March, 2026, and it's an important decision because it was something that was taken up by the Women's Legal Center as well in a big way. You know, they refer to it as a domestic partnership, you know, not a life partnership, but a domestic life partnership. So a domestic partnership is where a couple live together in romantic relationship, as I said, similar to a marriage, but there's no wedding, there's no tie, and that type of thing. Some couples are clever in that regard, and those listening here, if you are in a relationship like that, do yourself a favor and get something reduced to writing. You know, I often hear people come in here and say, my partner's died. Can you believe it? I'm left with absolutely nothing. His kids from the first marriage have moved in, told me I even have to vacate the house, which is in his name. There's no money left for me. I have no roof over my head. I have no place to go live. In some instances, I have children, you know, stepbrothers and stepsisters to the children, and, you know, they haven't been included. So your will is the most important thing there. One way of doing that and sorting that out is to make sure that you have a will. In your will, you can leave whatever you want to whoever you want. There's no compulsory section in a will that says you will leave to your spouse, you will leave to your children, or anything like that. Your will is your wish. Your wish can be to anybody. So from a will's point of view, it's a tool that you can use to ensure that your assets go to the right people. And some people are cautious in that regard. Some people go in, make sure that in their will they keep their life partners covered, keep children from previous marriage covered, and things like that. So, you know, the first thing is that one needs to make sure that you are covered. I mean, the decision that there was with the matter where interim maintenance was granted, and that was where a person on her partner's death, she was denied inheritance and support. She faced eviction. It's a matter of, I think it's 1 year, BWANYA versus the Master of the High Court. You know, and that was the start of the amendment to the Intestate Succession Act that came about. Because she was not recognized and had a lengthy, lengthy relationship with her deceased partner, who left nothing to her in his will, unfortunately. And the children from the first marriage that were inheriting were pretty awful towards her and, as mentioned, threatened eviction and things like that. So do yourself a favor. If you're living with someone, make sure that you understand that person, make sure that you cover it in a will, or make sure, even better still, that you enter into a contract with each other. It's so easy. You can go to an attorney and they will do what is known as a domestic partnership, which will be binding because it's signed by both parties, and what is contained in there will eventually become binding. As mentioned, though, the matter of estates, the Intestate Succession Act, has been amended, and it does give you steps to follow, you know, where you don't have a will, or that there is no, there's only intestate succession. So it's still a difficult one because it doesn't cover you 100%, because if there's a will, then it's not going to come into effect. But if the person has died intestate, then the deceased partner in a domestic partnership can be covered and can get part or the whole estate. You know, the spouse will receive a share like a child, and the partner likewise, they now say, will also receive a share like a child. So there is light at the end of the tunnel for those people that live together where no will has been made, somebody dies unexpectedly in a car accident. You know, far too many people these days say, I don't need a will, I'm too young still. You never know when death comes. It's the only thing that we're certain of, but we don't know when it's going to knock on our door and take us away. So don't wait until it's too late. You know, the minute you're 18, you can do a will. There's no harm in it. You might not have beneficiaries at that stage, but you can leave it to your parents or to any children born in the future and things like that. You can do it like that. It's not the wisest of things. But, you know, have a look at your will, especially if you're living in a partnership with someone. It's not to say that we start living together today and I must go a month later and do a will or something like that. We're talking about people that have been living for lengthy periods together, that share their home together, that live together, and that type of thing. Sadly, in this day and age, unfortunately, a lot of children are put off the other partner and the other partner's partner through silly, petty things, you know, because you as a parent haven't made it and maybe ended up with a divorce. You know, it's been an irretrievable breakdown. That's what the court looks for, not a right and a wrong in the marriage. You need to look at yourself. I always say to spouses that say, oh, my husband ran off with somebody else, he's an idiot or whatever. You know, I always say, you know, there are three fingers that point back at you. Don't point fingers at him. Have a look and see what you did wrong. You know, if there was complete happiness in the house, he wouldn't have wondered. He wouldn't have looked somewhere else. And that's the same thing, you know, that I'm getting to you with living with somebody. Don't make the mistake a second time. Look after the person that you're living with if it's deserved. You know, it can be a male or a female that we're talking about. And if that party has been with you for a long time, you know, you need to understand what your rights are in a relationship. You need to discuss it. Far too many people as well, you know, I often hear from people that come in here and they say, ah, things are a little bit rough at home, you know, I'm not married and I want to know what my rights are. And I say, well, have you ever discussed it? Oh, no, I wouldn't dare discuss that. You know, you might take exception and throw me out. Well, you're not in a proper relationship then. You know, if he has feelings for you, he shouldn't have any thoughts about that type of thing, you know. And, you know, the point is that a domestic partnership is recognized in South Africa, but, you know, they're not recognized in the law. They don't cover you 100%. You know, you can inherit, you can claim maintenance, but you don't have a right to a lot of things over there. You know, it's not the same as a marriage or a civil union. So if it ends up in an irretrievable breakdown, there's no automatic right to share in the assets or to get maintenance. No matter how long you've been there, you might have a maintenance case. He made you stay at home and do the housework and the cooking, which is very old-fashioned, and I doubt that is the position. You might secure rights to getting something out of the relationship if there is a breakdown in your part. But the safer way is, like I mentioned, to do a domestic partnership agreement, you know, It's very easy. It tells you what you're entitled to. It tells you what you're going to share, how you benefit, and things like that. So, you know, there's no fixed amount due to you. There's no fixed assets due to you. You know, I know so many couples that have been living together for years and years, and, you know, one will go out and buy a fridge, one will go out and buy a stove, one will go out and buy this, buy that, and all the rest of it, and they share jointly. But the trouble comes when the dreaded D's come in, that word divorce or separation, when that comes in, then you've got problems. So, like I mentioned as well, it doesn't matter if you've been living together for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. In a domestic relationship, there's always doubt. You know, there's always someone that can come along and spoil everything for you. It can be kids from a previous marriage. It can be an ex-wife who lays claim and that type of thing. And also, once again, I stress your will. Make sure that your will, it's written and that it's in place. Because a lot of people don't realize it. But, you know, I know in the old days when you went in to see an attorney to do an anti-nuptial contract, invariably they helped you with a nice, simple will. Mm-hmm. If I die, it goes to my missus. If my missus dies, it comes to me. If we die together, it goes to any children born of the marriage. Mm-hmm. Straightforward, simple will, easy will, nice will. But what happens when you get divorced and you've forgotten to do a new will, and all of a sudden, you know, you die, and the old wife pulls out the old original will, and that's the only thing in writing, you're in trouble. There you go. You've lost everything to, you know, it doesn't matter that there was a settlement agreement and all the rest of it. That will come into place. So once again, I'm back on wills. Make sure that you review your will from time to time. Make sure that it sorts and sets out what you want. Now, in a domestic relationship, there's no need for a joint will of any nature. It's each of the parties that could, you know what your relationship is. You need to go and see an attorney. You need to discuss it and let him give you the different options that there are. You know, the intestate has now confirmed that where there are lengthy domestic partnerships, they will seriously consider a child share game to partner that is not married to the person concerned. That's an important amendment, and it shows that there is something in it. So all is not lost. But it's not an easy thing to prove neither. You know, you're going to have the other parties that are inheriting fighting it. They're going to give 110 reasons why you should not inherit. So the easier way, put it in writing. Do your will, stick it into writing, or get a proper written agreement that says in the event of my death, this is the amount that will go there. You know, a lot of people have children and they want to support their children, and the children come first before the domestic partner, rightfully so in some instances. I mean, you might be fresh out of a divorce and not shack up, but you live with somebody, you form a relationship in its early days, you don't want to see your assets being distributed to somebody that doesn't deserve it. But when you've been living for quite a while together, you know, you have a right to make your own decision and to leave something. And once again, go back, you'll find that in a will. You know, it's not going to be found in anything else but a will or a written agreement that you have setting out what the terms and conditions of your domestic partnership are. So as a guideline, then, you need to see that a domestic partnership is where two people live together, they don't get married, they share the most common interests, such as the partnership, cohabitation, living together. They, you know, do everything that a common law marriage would do together. There's a sexual relationship with them, share the same room, share the same house, and that type of thing. So that's your domestic partnership. You know, I think as well, you often find that a lot of people think that people live together and they don't. I mean, you know, you get a communal home where someone's gone through a rough divorce and some old school friend has taken them in. They've each got their own room. They share a house. They go out together and things like that, but they're actually not a couple.
Right.
And you've got to be careful of that as well. you know, and I think that's where the nastiness comes in with children, where people try and claim that they were in a domestic partnership. Mm-hmm. So you always got two sides to a story, and you need to make sure that you've got it under control. So, yes, your intestate succession will allow for a claim these days. Your will definitely allows for a claim. If I include my life partner in a will, there's absolutely no reason why she cannot inherit from me. That will definitely form a part of it. So it takes us back to, like I said, you can be successful in getting a remedy for maintenance if you're an unmarried partner and you've been left or thrown out of the house. You know, maybe your partner has found somebody else and you requested to leave, which happens so often these days. It's the easiest thing, not married, so you just force the other partner out of the house. So it's there, and you've got to be careful and cautious about it. So the amendments that we have in the Act and that show that, indeed, you can do a Rule 43, which is for interim maintenance. You know, the Uniform Rules of Court apply there. So if you feel that you've been done by, go see an attorney. You can bring an application for maintenance. You can try and assist you, especially where you find yourself, you know, out in the sea in a boat with no paddle, basically. In other words, your supply of funds has been cut off unexpectedly, whereas you've lived a life in the past of expectations that you've had. You've been at home. You've been in a home where you've got a roof over your head, you've got food on your table and things like that. So it's very, very important that you make sure that you are satisfied with your relationship, that you know what, as partners, you want to give to each other, what each partner deserves and that type of thing. And like I mentioned, I go back, make sure it's reduced to a will or make sure it's reduced to a partnership agreement between the two of you, you know, because it's not straightforward. It's not something that's just going to happen. It's not something that you're entitled to. You need to make sure that it's properly covered. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the chat as well, so many times is that love-hate between children from a previous marriage and dad's new girlfriend or mom's new boyfriend and that type of thing. You know, some kids detest, some kids get on well with it. I've always said and I've always been told kids are not a yo-yo. You know, don't put them up and down. Don't tell them, you know, that something is wrong, that dad was wrong, he left me. He left us stranded. I mean, I hear so many parents that say, oh, you know, my husband walked out on me and went and lived with another woman and he's still living with her. And he just left us at home with no money, no this, no that. And then you discover that the husband's never done that. Things didn't go right in the marriage. There was an irretrievable breakdown. They parted, got divorced, and dad's been paying maintenance all his life. But mom is scared the living daylights out of the kids, made stories, and sadly so with the protection orders that are granted these days. You know, kids can make stories, and then I see it so often where the other spouse is getting locked up. And then you find that there's no fruition in what has taken place. It's not actually the position. So, you know, don't be silly, mate. You know, at the end of the day, yes, you only have one mom and one dad. So don't poison children. You know, things haven't gone well between the two of you. Move on. You know, find a life and sort yourself out. But don't use the children as poison to poison the relationship that they might have with their mother or father.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the importance of life partnership, making sure that you do the correct things to make it work.
Right.
And especially to have a look at what's going to happen. Should we part? Should we die? That type of thing, you know. What happens if I become ill and that type of thing? All of that can be discussed and placed in writing and sorted. And very importantly, needs to be done.
I was just going to say the putting it down in writing is, as with other chats where we've had, you know, where contracts used to be done on a handshake, it's now very important to do it in writing, and this is virtually no different.
Absolutely. You know, you get some people that stand by their word. I admire people like that, and there are a lot of them still around, believe it or not. You know, they give a commitment and they stand by their commitment. But then, of course, when things go wrong, you know, and people start throwing stones at those glass houses, unfortunately, you know, that sort of little inner devil comes into you and you say, oh, well, bugger them, you know, I'm not going to cooperate anymore.
Right.
And that's when you need it to be in writing, like we said. It's like anything in life. If you put it into writing, it's clear.
Yeah.
A will tells you clearly what you want to do with your estate when you die one day. So
this is no writing. Different.
No different.
Great. Yeah. Peter, thank you very, very much. And one last question as usual. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, where and how can they get in touch with Alums?
Yeah, they'll find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, the little side street where Pep Stores is. 043-721-0118. I'll repeat, 043-721-0118. And, of course, if they just go onto our Facebook page, add an S onto Alum, Alums, as the firm is known, you'll find all our details there. You can chat to us through there. And as always mentioned, Wild Coast FM, just go onto your site and you'll find our details there as well.
Great. Peter, thank you very much. Have a good week.
Thank you.